people are just outraged at the Trump attempts to slash Medicaid $880 billion.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we speak with Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey. In recent days, Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey has been making his way west in Massachusetts to hear from constituents now that the Trump administration is several weeks old. We spoke as Congress stared down a possible government shutdown on Friday. Here's our conversation. Senator Markey, welcome back to the show.
No, it's great to be with you.
So I'm a little groggy still from daylight savings time. When are we going to fix this?
Well, Marco Rubio and I, we were partners on making it year-round, and he's now the Secretary of State, so I'm now trying to find good Republican partners in the Senate to continue to work on the issue. But when I started on this issue, by the way, daylight savings time did not start until the last week of April. So if you can imagine that every night from now until the end of April was still dark and we didn't have the hour in the evening. And I think that people can already feel that little bit of sunshine at 7 o'clock, 7:15, 7:20 at night. And I was riding around last night just walking, watching people walk their dogs at 7:15 and out showing their kids how to hit the soccer ball. And none of that can start until there's daylight savings time. So I'm very proud of the fact that I'm the author of the bill that moved daylight savings time 2 months earlier from the end of April to the beginning of March, because that's when the corners of people's mouths start to turn upwards in a smile because they have the sunshine in the evening. But I still have work to do to recapture those winter months as well, and I'm not going to stop until I've been successful.
That's one area of agreement between you and President Trump, although he seems to have walked back his initial earnestness in taking this issue on. So what's the impediment?
Well, I saw what Trump said. He said, well, it's more complicated than I thought. And he said, and it looks like it's 50-50. Half the people want year-round daylight savings time, half the people don't. And so, like a good Donald Trump, he's, as a result, no longer willing to do anything because he only likes to move when he thinks he's got the issue exactly where everyone wants it. Although, let me just modify that. People don't want an uncertain marketplace. People don't want higher electricity rates. People don't want to cut Medicaid and clean air and clean water funding. People don't want to cut food stamps, food assistance for poor children in our country. So I take it all back. Maybe just daylight savings time is the issue, which is too complicated. Although I think for people like you and I, it's pretty clear that we want sunshine for a rainy day in the immortal words of the Temptations. We just want to make sure that we've got that extra sun rather than having it at 5 in the morning. You've got it at 7 o'clock at night, and I think that's something that ultimately I'm going to be successful on because we'll just call it Berkshire saving time. You know, just to let people be going out and walking around the Berkshires in the evening.
You know, that's some good branding. So you've raised that. You were in Pittsfield over the weekend for a rally. And what did you hear from your constituents on your trip west?
Well, obviously, people in the Berkshires, people in Pittsfield, when I was at the Colonial Theater, that was packed to the rafters for that event on Sunday. It was just absolutely amazing. People are just outraged at the Trump attempts to slash Medicaid $880 billion. By the way, 70% of the people in nursing homes in our country are on Medicaid. And half of those people in nursing homes have Alzheimer's. So looking at Medicaid for those kind of cuts is absolutely devastating as a thought to many people. The same thing is true for the cuts of $230 billion to food assistance. Half of all children in America receive food assistance, SNAP food stamps at some point in their life, which is absolutely devastating. He wants to cut the education programs by $330 billion. That's extra funding for schools with poor children, kids with disabilities. And by the way, over in Medicaid in Massachusetts alone, 330,000 people with disabilities receive Medicaid coverage. So that what I was hearing across across the Berkshires was this outrage. And there's no greener part of the nation than the Berkshires. And he wants to cut dramatically the EPA. So, for example, he wants to cut funding for the EPA employees by two-thirds. Well, there's another way in which we describe that. That's clean air, clean water, safe lands that have been there for years. And he also wants to kill every single program that wants to work on climate change. He says he's going to eliminate everything on climate change. Well, I know one thing. Massachusetts is more than the Bay State. It's the brain state, and there's nobody brainier than the Berkshires. So they know that climate change is real. They know that it's coming, it's intensifying. And so that was another great concern, which I heard throughout the weekend in the Berkshires and in west of Mass, because I was in Springfield, I was in Northampton as well over the weekend.
Now, how likely is it that we are facing a government shutdown on Friday? And just to bring listeners up to speed, there's the House version of things, and then, of course, your chamber, and they're on slightly different timelines here.
Well, the rumor is that the House of Representatives could vote as early as today.
Right, we're speaking on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, that it could happen as early as today. That's still is uncertain as the Speaker of the House, Speaker Johnson, tries to corral the votes to pass it. What the White House is saying is that they want the House and the Senate to pass a continuing resolution, to pass the budget, that is nothing more no less than a blatant attempt to codify Trump and Elon Musk's illegal cuts that are already devastating Massachusetts and the nation. It increases defense spending while cutting essential programs. It's absurd. And the reality is that Trump and Musk have already been shutting down the government for weeks. And now the House Republicans have released a bill that gives a green light to those unconstitutional actions for another 6 months. And so that's where we are right now. A true continuing resolution wouldn't increase defense spending while simultaneously cutting the programs for domestic spending. So I'm going to be opposed to that action very, very strongly.
What have been the statewide impacts of Musk and Doge on Massachusetts? There's been a lot to keep track of, but we had initial federal freezes. There have also been layoffs at federal agencies. So what does the picture look like statewide in Massachusetts?
Well, what's happened is that these actions by the White House, by Doge, have actually cast a shadow over program after program that benefits Massachusetts. So, for example, the NIH cuts that Doge and Trump have announced has now actually built fear and trembling into the scientists all across the state of Massachusetts. We are the biomedical capital of the United States. And right now, even if the money temporarily keeps flowing, it's casting a cloud over the long-term viability of medical research in Massachusetts. Our scientists are looking to find the cure for Alzheimer's and for cancer and for diabetes and for Parkinson's and all those diseases that have been running through the families in Massachusetts and the country and the world for generations. And right now, I'm told by medical researchers, and I had one call where 450 medical researchers in Massachusetts got on the call with me, who told me that they really are frightened right now. And that's not good, because that's at the heart of who we are as a state. On top of that, because Medicaid provides help to 2 million Massachusetts residents, because it provides coverage for 35% of all children in Massachusetts, 32% of mothers giving birth in Massachusetts have Medicaid coverage, 55% of working age adults with disabilities are covered by Medicaid. All of these programs are now in question, and it provides lifelines that serve pretty much every family in one way or the other across the entirety of the Commonwealth.
Senator, let me ask you this. You know, President Trump has talked about undoing a lot of the Biden era priorities, including things like chips and the infrastructure bill. Is the future of East-West Rail, which is reliant on federal funding to be completed in Massachusetts, in any sort of jeopardy?
Well, there's already a signed contract which has been reached between the Commonwealth and the federal government. And that's for the largest share of the funding. It's already under contract. There's a smaller a contract that still needs to be finalized. But at least $108 million of the dollars is already under contract, and that would be near impossible for the Trump administration to rescind.
What's your feeling about the president's tariff policies, such as they are?
Well, for New England, obviously, Canada provides a lot of our energy. And if Trump imposes an additional, let's just say, 10% tax on that energy coming into New England, it just increases the cost of living. It increases the cost of doing business in New England. So from my perspective, Trump is taking a ham-fisted approach to tariffs that is going to increase costs for families. You know, if he wants to have targeted strategic tariffs, perhaps they can be an important tool for addressing unfair trade practices and leveling the playing field. But what Trump is doing is neither targeted nor strategic, and they have no clear underlying goal. They are chaotic. They're confusing at best. And I saw one of the premiers up in Canada just say yesterday he's ready to unplug all of the electricity that they are sending down to the United States right now, and whether it be Quebec Hydro or other, you know, electricity sources that come down from Canada into the United States, that could be absolutely devastating if you just pull the plug on that electricity, which we import.
How worried are you about the state of America's long-held alliances? You know, I think it's fair to say that leaders in Europe and then our neighbors here in North America really don't know what to make about this moment.
Well, when I was growing up, in my geography book in the fifth grade, there was one chapter just entitled, Our Friends, the Canadians. So I think every child who grows up in New England has that chapter, right, in their book. So they're a great country. They're our partners. If some strategic renegotiations have to take place, well, we can do that. But to jeopardize the entire relationship is absolutely recklessly irresponsible. And the same thing is true for his statements about Is it an invasion of Greenland? I can't tell what he's threatening to do. Is it an invasion of Panama to undo the Panama Canal Treaty of 1979? It's unclear. But these are all dangerous statements which he's making. And at the same time, he's saying that Russia was invaded by Ukraine when Russia invaded Ukraine. He's saying that Zelensky is a dictator when it is Putin who is a dictator. So all of these foreign policy decisions which he is making are being conducted in a very, very dangerously poorly thought out way, which could come back to haunt the United States of America in the long run. Because Trump is trading democracy for dictatorship. And in the Ukraine-Russian situation, Moscow is toasting with vodka and caviar. You know, we should all want peace in Ukraine, but it cannot come at the expense of Ukrainian and European security. We need a lasting peace on Ukraine's terms, with security for Ukraine, not on Putin's terms. We just can't allow him to continue to gobble up short-term gains, wait a few years, and then once again re-attack Ukraine. We need something here that is permanent, and Donald Trump just has to stop bowing down to Putin and get real with what a negotiated settlement should include.
I'm running out of time with you, Senator, but have you talked to your former Senate colleague, now Secretary of State Rubio, about your concerns with respect to our foreign approach?
I haven't had a conversation with him. I'm very disappointed in him. When he announced yesterday that he was going to cut 83% of all USAID funding, that is absolutely irresponsible. And I never thought those words would come out of Marco Rubio's mouth, but they did. So he knows where I stand on these programs. And he knows that I'm very disappointed in what he has been doing thus far. Instead of the Marco Rubio, who in the Senate has independence, it's clear now he's just an extension of Donald Trump and Donald Trump's agenda, which is, again, very dangerous for our nation.
Let me ask you a very tough question. Would you consider this season a bust if the Celtics do not win the NBA championship?
Yeah, this is our time. And by the way, on HBO, this great series called Celtic City, I recommend everyone who is listening to this show, who is a Celtics fan, to watch it. And it's just a fabulous recapitulation of the entire history of the Celtics. It's 9 episodes, and they're only up to the 2nd episode thus far. But at this point, Bill Russell and the Celtics have won 11 titles in 13 years, okay? The greatest of all time. So expectations are high, and I love Jason and Jalen on the Celtics, but one title just isn't going to do it. If they want to get up there with Havlicek and Collins, with Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and Ray Allen, if they want to get up there with Larry Bird and Kevin McHale and Bill Russell and Bob Cousy, then they have to win another one. So, yes. Expectations are high because they're in the prime time of their basketball careers right now. And because we invented basketball, because the Basketball Hall of Fame is in Springfield, because James Naismith was in the Springfield YMCA inventing this game, we always have high, high expectations. And I think they're going to fulfill it this year. I have great confidence.
Boy, I wouldn't want to be the peach basket when Jason Tatum is rolling through. But anyway, Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey, a Democrat in office since 2013 after his many years in the House of Representatives. Senator Markey, we're very grateful for all the time you spend with us on WAMC and looking forward to the next one.
Thank you. I love being with you. And I think one of the biggest innovations Naismith had was originally he didn't have the bottom taken out of the peach basket. Then a big innovation was take the bottom out so the ball can go through. So to protect against the future Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown's dunking. So look forward to being with you again.
Thank you, Senator. Really appreciate it. Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.